The Bible tells us that we are to have joy in our lives. But how are we to have joy? What does joy look like? Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. One aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. As you reflect on your life, what is it that brought you the most joy? Was it the day you proposed or were proposed to? Was it the day you got married? Was it the day or the days that your children were born? These are probably the three most common reasons why people have joy or have found joy or are the occasion that brought the most joy. What is it that we felt like when we experienced that which brought joy? Did we have a smile on our face from ear to ear? Did you make some calls and let others know about the good news? Did you go around and show everybody that ring? This morning we are going to look at an individual who had an encounter with Jesus and was overwhelmed with joy and what he did as a result of being overwhelmed with joy. Mark 1, looking at verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leper left him, or the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you do not say anything to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. There are three things that I would like for us to notice this morning concerning this leper. The leper's problem, the leper's plea, and the leper's praise. Look, if you will, at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, seeking or kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This man definitely had a problem. And his problem was he was a leper. Leprosy is a disease that has been known since biblical times. It causes skin sores, nerve damage, and muscle weakness, and that gets worse over time. But there is more to this man's problem than just having skin sores, nerve damage, or muscle weakness. Listen to what Leviticus 13, 1 through 4 says. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man, let me back up. What this account is when the people were taken out of Egypt, out of slavery, and there were things that were expected. God gave commandments. And within the commandments, we see the book of Leviticus. It's one of the most enjoyable books to read. It's very exciting, entertaining. Now, it's one of the most boring books to read because it just lists a bunch of rules and regulations and laws. But one of the laws that was given was in regards to leprosy. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall examine it and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore for 7 days. The chapter in regards to leprosy is 59 verses dealing with how to handle leprosy. 17 times in this chapter the word clean is used. 23 times the word unclean is used. There is no middle ground in being clean or unclean. You are either unclean or you are clean. If anyone is determined to be unclean, the law of Moses, the book of Leviticus, requires them to live their lives isolated from those who are clean. If you have leprosy, you are completely isolated. You are an outcast from everyone else because they don't have leprosy. Listen to Leviticus 13, 45 and 46. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his hair bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. In other words, it will be outside of Israel. He will no longer have a part with the camp of Israel. Remember, they were wandering around in the wilderness. He would be on the outside, or they would be on the outside. You didn't have work. You didn't have relationships with your parents or your siblings. You no longer took part in religious ceremonies, which was huge in the wilderness. Matter of fact, you didn't even have your own family. You didn't get married. You didn't have kids. You were completely an outcast, left to yourself because you were unclean. Can you imagine walking around with your sores exposed, your clothes torn as a sign that you were a leper, and having to proclaim out loud for all to hear in the distance, I am unclean, unclean. This would be lonely and humiliating. In all reality, there would be nothing to live for. There would be no purpose in living. The only reason why you may consider living is if you just got the spot. If you just looked down and you saw a little spot and you said, well, I have to, by law, go and get this checked out. And you go to the priest and he says, you know, let's give you a few days and see what comes about. And you have a little hope. Hey, you know, this might not be so bad. I might be able to get clean again. But Luke says in Luke 5:12 that this man was full of leprosy, which indicates that he was a leper for some time. There was no more chance that this man was going to be cured of leprosy. He wasn't in any hopes of ever being cured. This man not only had sores, but most likely he had some serious injuries due to the fact that he had nerve damage. When I attended Appalachian Bible College, I worked for a quadriplegic. We became very good friends. And he couldn't feel anything. If he got hurt, he didn't know it. Matter of fact, one time he was moving and he was watching his daughter's soccer game and I was with him. And he ran into a bleacher, backs up and moves on. Well, later on that evening, he started sweating. He says, something's wrong. He said, I think I broke my leg when I ran into that bleacher. He recalled the fact that he ran into that bleacher. Sure enough, he broke his leg. The leper probably burned himself, probably broke some bones and wore out some skin as a result of not having feelings in his fingers or his bodies because of leprosy. All hope was lost and he only existed without hope, without purpose, until he met Jesus. Look again, if you will, at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There was hope. There was revived hope in this leper. The first thing we saw was the leper's problem. The second thing we see is the leper's plea. I'm sure that this man tried everything that he could to become clean. I'm sure he spent his whole life praying that leprosy would leave him. You may have even recalled the account of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, where Naaman was commanded by Elisha to go down to the Jordan and dip himself 7 times in the river. And when he came out of the river on the 7th time, he would be made clean. If you remember the account, Naaman mocked Elisha and he said, isn't there cleaner rivers than the River Jordan? But he did it and he came up clean. And maybe this guy just went down into the River Jordan and he dunked himself 7 times, but still came up leprous, had leprosy. But then he heard that there was one who cures the sick and casts out demons. He may have heard of others say that this is probably the promised Messiah. And if he can cast out demons and he can cure the sick, maybe, just maybe, he can cure me of my leprosy, of being unclean. So he goes to the Lord and he implores him. And the word implore means to make a strong request. In other words, he was begging him. He was begging Jesus with all that he had. He was imploring him. I believe that this man understood who Jesus was. We see here in Mark that he got down on his knees. But in Luke it says that he fell down on his face. And in Matthew it says that he worshipped him. As a Jew, you would understand that you worship none other but God and God only. I believe this man knew who Jesus was. Listen to how focused this man was on Jesus. In this verse alone, Mark, as he records the account of Jesus and this leper, uses the word him, referring to Jesus four times, and he says you two times. A total of six times, Mark shows the importance and the focus on whom can cure this man. On whom has the power? Now the leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Why? Because it is only God who can make clean that which is unclean. Look at the compassion of Jesus in verses 40 and 42. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be clean or be cleansed. One writer writes, Jesus didn't come to fulfill a healing ministry, but because of his compassion for people, healed those who need healing. Jesus had compassion on this leper. And Jesus, God, is one who still has compassion for those who are unclean. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all to come to repentance. Compassion, patience. 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What is that verse saying? What is Jeremiah saying right there? He is saying that God's compassions are new every morning. He is faithful. He will never stop being compassionate. God will always be compassionate towards those he loves. As we consider this account, it is obvious that every sinner is in the same situation as the leper. Every sinner is unclean. Romans 3, 10 and 11. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We are all like an unclean thing. As the leper was separated from the clean, so are we as sinners separated from a clean, a holy God. In the Garden of Eden, God no longer walked with them due to their sin. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, which is eternal separation from a holy, clean God. Every sinner has to make their plea. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You shall be clean. You shall be made clean. Only Christ could cleanse the leper. So is it with every sinner. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. I've said this before. We are as righteous as God. We are as clean as God because Jesus Christ came down, died a death so that we may be placed in his place, which is pure righteousness, holy, a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot. We are made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ, and only Jesus could make the unclean clean. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. God the Father sent his Son so that through the blood, through the death, burial, and resurrection, we too could be made clean. Look now, if you will, at verses 43 and 44. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and to offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." A testimony to them is a testimony to the priest that they are clean, that he's clean. Jesus was alive and teaching in the dispensation of the law, and therefore what was required by the law, Jesus had to confirm. And that was that anyone who was a leper who was made clean had to show himself to a priest with a sacrifice of two doves. One dove was killed, the blood of the dove was poured or sprinkled on the one that was still alive and was set free. What a beautiful picture of our salvation. But he had to fulfill the law. We saw the leper's problem. He was unclean. We saw the leper's plea. His plea was that Jesus would clean him from his uncleanness. Now let us look at the leper's praise. Look at verse 45. "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." However, tells us that the leper did the opposite of what Jesus commanded. What Jesus commanded him, he did not do. He just did the opposite. Proclaimed it freely. Proclaim means to make public declaration, to proclaim aloud. And freely means widely or a wide range. In other words, this person who was once unclean due to leprosy, now made clean, went everywhere telling everyone, not whispering, but loudly, that Jesus cured him of his leprosy. This man didn't take the short route home. He took the scenic route home. He went out and he told everyone he came into contact with, "I was made clean." It's funny because as you think about it, Jesus cleansed him of his leprosy. So let's look at the totality of how he was clean and how other people, when they encountered this man, would have saw his cleanness, but would have also have known he was a leper. How would he have known, or how would they have known that he was a leper? His clothes were torn, which was an indication that he was an outsider, someone who was cast out because he was unclean. Now we think about leprosy and we say the sores on the surface of his skin, but what we must remember is that this man had leprosy a long time. It probably went a little deeper than just the surface of his skin. It probably went into where his fingers may have been worn down to nothing. If you've ever watched movies, which I'm not trying to use a comparison of a movie to justify what the scriptures say, but if you've ever watched a movie, and I remember the movie Braveheart, and the father of one of the noblemen was up on a roof, and he had leprosy, and his hands were down to barely nothing. And probably because as he used them, he didn't understand how bad his situation was, but still used them. And his hands were covered. This man probably was in the same situation. He probably had bandages all over the place that was stopping the sores from festering, from spreading. He probably had sores and gouges out of his skin, and I don't know the conditions of his feet. But Jesus cleansed him of his leprosy, of his uncleanness. And it wouldn't have just been his skin. He would have had his hands, his full use of his fingers back if they weren't there anymore. He would have had his, he was made complete. His feet were there. He could run. There was no problem. And he's running up and he's touching people, which he could never do before. And he's saying, "Listen, listen, I am clean. Jesus has made me clean." He publicly pronounced his cleanness. My mother told me of a story about my father when they were married. And she said, your father went out and he bought this new car. Spent everything he had on this car. Had to borrow money for gas so that he could go from family to friend to show off his new car. This leper did the same thing. He went from place to place telling everyone about the experience that he encountered with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Someone once said in regards to this verse, Jesus told the leper not to tell anyone, and he told everyone. Jesus tells us to tell everyone, and we tell no one. The manner in which the man approached Jesus indicates that he knew who Jesus was, but it doesn't ever say whether or not he truly believed in him as his Savior. If this man didn't come to Jesus as his Savior, then he would have been better off remaining a leper with faith in the Savior, spending eternity in heaven, than to have been cleansed from his leprosy, not accepting Christ as a Savior, and spending eternity in hell. And it's really a bad commentary on our society today because we live for the here and now instead of in view of eternity. What was it that brought us the most joy? Was it the day we were proposed to? Or was it the day we proposed to someone else? Was it the day we got married? Was it the day or the days that we had our children? Without Jesus, our marriage wouldn't have much meaning. Without Jesus, our marriage wouldn't have as much meaning as it does. Without Jesus, our children wouldn't mean as much as they mean. A matter of fact, without Jesus, we would only lead our children to an endless torment and eternal hell, because we wouldn't have the understanding or the knowledge of an eternity spent in heaven because of the grace of God. The day that brought the most joy in my life wasn't the day my children were born. It wasn't the day that I got married, although I was overwhelmingly joyous at those moments as well. The day that brought me the most joy was the day that I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. On that day, I believed with all my heart that my sins were forgiven. I knew, based on Scripture, that if I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, all my sins, all my uncleanness was made clean, and I was going to spend eternity with God in heaven and not hell. I was excited about my new relationship with a holy God who loved me and still loves me. I was and am excited because Jesus cleansed me of my spiritual leprosy. Life has meaning now, and I know how to live it. I am married to a wonderful Christian wife and mother. I have 5 wonderful children who are saved and love the Lord. I know how I am to live for Christ in the home, in the church, and outside the church. I know these things only because Jesus cleansed me from my sins and brought me back into a relationship with the Father through His death, burial, and resurrection. I saw my problem. I made my plea. And now I want to proclaim my praise everywhere I go about my wonderful and gracious Savior. My problem, my plea, my praise. That was the encounter of the leper. And that should be our encounter. Every day we should see Christ for who He is and the love of the Father and what took place in order to make us clean. We should have the praises of God's glory on our lips each and every day as we walk about life, whether it's in a home, in the church, or outside, making known what Jesus did for us by cleansing us of our spiritual leprosy. Let's pray.